Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Larry Krueger, John Chapman with you. The Krug Show meets the 49er Rush podcast experience. Hope you guys are having a great Saturday. It is July the 12th. Giants won last night over the Dodgers, so I'm feeling good. Took the boys out to the yard. Giants baseball on the television today at 1 o'clock. We got beautiful weather. I'm thinking about maybe barbecuing some steaks, but let's talk some Niners with one of my favorites. Chapman is in the house, and away we go. Off and running on the Krug Show Saturday morning. Hope you everybody had a great night last night. I know I did. We're about 20 minutes late on a Saturday because I did have such a good night last night. But thanks to everybody. Thanks to my sons. We had a really good time. And thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. And check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. We're also brought to you by Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. The great Anthony Catania at 831-521-5264. And he's a great follow on the Graham at Sharp Corners 831 on Instagram. And also thanks to Claw Daddy Arcades. They're a great follow on Instagram at @Claw_Daddy_Arcades to find a location near you. Brand new locations coming in Capitola Mall and Visalia Mall later on this year. And we should tell you, if you're watching us live on YouTube, do us a favor, hit the like and subscribe button. Make sure you click that notification bell so that you never have to miss a minute of John or I. And remember, once the live stream wraps up, you can catch the full replay anywhere that you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your favorite platform is. Just search The Krug Show on our end, and you will find us. We've got a lot to get into today, and we're going to do a draft of some sorts today, a little mock draft on which new 49er will make the greatest impact. But, John, good to see you. Before we get rolling, I also want to do this. I want to share the screen and bring in a tweet from our own John Chapman.
I know
who
that
says, "Hey, 49er Rush road trip events for 2025. John's going to Seattle, New Orleans, Tampa, Houston, New York, Arizona, Cleveland, Indy, and you could go too. And you can get tickets right there on the link, tickpick.com/organizer.
You just go to TickPick, and if you just type in 49ers Rush on the search thing, it pulls up all of our events. We host a night before party, before the game, and then we host an amazing tailgate that we really put a lot into. All you can eat, all you can drink, all that stuff. Premium package, you name it, it's all there. And kids are always free under 18 to every event we will ever do. Even if we bring a player out for autographs, kids still get in free. We it's all about building the community for tomorrow. So just go to the TickPick app and search 49ers Rush. It'll pull up all of our events. We got like 20 of them up there. We're going to be a busy year, Larry. It's going to be a good year.
What is the most number of people that you have had at one of your road trip events?
Probably 600. When we did the Arizona event with Patrick Willis, we had about 600 there. We had about 500 out in Jacksonville. So we've had some bigger parties. I like the smaller, more intimate ones better because I get more time to meet everybody and kind of talk with everybody. But sometimes they blow up. And I think New Orleans and Houston are going to kind of be our biggest events this year for sure. We could already tell just from the way tickets are moving. But it don't matter. Big, small, doesn't matter. One of my best parties we ever had, we had like 110 people, but man, it was awesome. So anyway, that was up in Chicago when it was raining, but really, really excited about this year. We're going all out, Larry.
Well, man, check it out. And of course, John's a great follow on X at JL_Chapman. And you can find this tweet and then click the link there. Or as John said, go to tickpick.com and type in 49er Rush road trip or 49er Rush podcast.
Just 49ers Rush and then pulls up.
49er Rush. Gotcha. All right, so we are off and running on a Saturday morning, feeling great, and we decided, John and I did so many drafts leading into the draft, that we thought with training camp, I mean, literally next week, the rookies report in 3 days on the 15th, and then the full squad on the 22nd. And, you know, it's funny, it's like just even there I might even have a question. I mean, I'm not going to be that guy who questions everything all year, but I would like to ask Shanahan, why the 15th? It seems like the Niners either, because it seems like everybody's reporting on the 22nd. Like that's the hard date for everybody. But it seems like it's variable as to when teams have their rookies report. And I wonder if that is related to how many days you used in the offseason calendar, or if that's like a variable thing where teams have like a 4 or 5 day thing they can play with. And maybe the Niners said, hey, we want our rookies there earliest day possible. I'm not really sure, but I'd love to know because the Niners do report on the 15th, but there are teams that rookies report like on the 17th or 18th.
Yeah, and you know, the Niners, they're one of the slowest, most days off whenever they do their training camp. They do the 2-1 where you have like 2 or 3 days in a row with the day off. So, and Shanahan and Lynch have kind of tweaked this throughout their, you know, 8-9 years here. And so when it's funny because everybody's going to be super excited for the 15th and 22nd, rightfully so. No practices are going to take place that day. That's check-in, weigh-ins, meetings, get your stuff, go through the thing. And Shanahan is really big on this is the format and the schedule that we're going to do things. Let's walk through the schedule. Like he's big on that too. So those first days they report, it's much more just check in, get everything, get the flow, the format of how everything's going to go. And the practicing how you practice, which I was always a big fan of whenever I was a coach. When we go out to that practice field, everybody knows where you got to be, what you're doing, what you're working on, who you're working on it with, and how long you're going to be there, which I always loved as a coach. I don't like people doing this and trying to wonder what we're doing next. No. Everybody knows. Everybody's on the same page. And so you get those rookies kind of up to snuff before the vets show up. And we got a lot of rookies, 11 rookies, 6 undrafted free agents. You know, that's 17 guys. You're going to get some work in with them.
You know, before we get into the stream, I want to bend your ear for 1 second. Ooh. My son, you know, I've got, I've talked about my family from time to time. My daughter is a little bit older. She's going to med school. It's not med school. Dad's not med school. It's nurse practitioner school.
NP.
So she's going to be a nurse practitioner. Okay. So, you know, if I said med school, screw me. All right. Okay. And then Kev, of course, graduated Cal Poly, construction management degree. He's running my YouTube channel. I got my third son, Ben, who's a freshman in college, and right now he's going to the JC and working and living at home and trying to figure out his next move. And then I've got a kid who's going into his sophomore year, and he is right now in the midst of these 5 a.m. football training workouts. And because you coached football, John, of course, I scouted and coached as well. But you know what? I mean, I could be Bill Belichick, Bill Walsh, and Bill Parcells all rolled into one, and my kid would still flip me the bird. But he does watch the stream, and he will see this, and you did coach high school. He's a wide receiver and a corner. And I'm just kind of wondering, John, if you could give him some, you know, just, you know, he hasn't played very much football, right? Last year, I mean, we don't play football in California. I mean, we do. Some people play Pop Warner, but it's really not that popular. So he never played any football except for flag. He loved flag as in junior high. Then he fell in love with it, played freshman year. Before we get rolling on the Niners, do you have any? The only advice I gave him, John, was, you know, be physical, you know, want to hit and see what you hit. Don't put your head down. Keep your head up and see what you hit. But I'm just thinking safety. Is there anything that you could recommend to a young aspiring corner slash wide receiver that would help him as he gets ready for, you know, training camp here later on this summer?
You know, this is probably some people probably going to disagree with me, but if you're playing corner and wide receiver, footwork and body control is paramount before you can do everything. Everybody wants to focus on hands and routes and all those things. Man, just buy a $7 to $10 ladder on Amazon. Just work footwork, body control. And again, just type in ladder footwork drills and on YouTube and you get like 50 of them. None of them are bad. And that's something you could do at home and whatever else. And I would always tell my guys, man, get out here early, stay late, get, you know, 15 extra ladders in, whatever you got to do. Because once you get that body control down, like everything flows from that. Once you get that athleticism and you could just understand the way my body works, that's going to help you in and out of breaks, whether you're a DB or a wide receiver, your stem routes, all that stuff, press man coverage, that's going to help you there. And it's something you could do anywhere. You could do it in the garage, you could do it in the grass.
Working on your stop and start, your body control. So type into Google ladder footwork drills and see what it spits out.
Easy, easy, easy.
You're the man.
And
you're the man.
That's just what I would recommend. And you can't do it wrong. You practice it, you're going to get better. It's just what it is. It's a skill that obviously some people have talent, but you could always get that better. And once that comes, everything else is easier.
Well, I'll say this. He is dedicated, man. He's all in. And we are dedicated today to this stream, and we're all in. And the topic that we're going to start with today is we're going to go through the Niners roster, and we're going to do a little draft. John's going to go first. I'm going to go second. And we're going to go like 1 through 10, which new 49ers, not existing 49ers, not returning 49ers, which new 49ers, guys, that were not on this roster a year ago, will make the biggest impact in 2025. This is not an easy discussion necessarily because it's very speculative. But, John, we'll start it off, and I'll go with you. You've got the first pick overall. Of all the new players the Niners acquired in the offseason, which are you gambling has the biggest impact of all?
Well, Larry, you're lucky you let me go first because this is a player you would not have picked. So, like, you are completely safe, my friend. And I'm going Alfred Collins, who isn't even signed yet. I think,
well, dude, first of all, that just the fact that you're going Alfred Collins excites the hell out of me because I know you've watched him. That tells me that you have confidence that he is going to be healthy.
It might not be early. I do think he'll be. I'm not overly concerned with the calf. The contract is a bigger deal. Only 2 of 32 second round picks have signed. That's an issue. We'll see how that goes. There's about 9 players picked ahead of Alfred Collins that still haven't signed their deals. I don't think he'll be signed by training camp, but I think a lot of people are going to be upset. I think he's going to get a lot of negative attention his way. But I think if we put the entire emphasis of 2025 season, including the playoffs, which I do think there will be a playoff run, Alfred Collins is going to be paramount to the 49ers' success as a defensive unit.
Wow. I am shocked by that. Absolutely shocked by that. But I'm excited. I'm excited because, let's be honest, John, the Niners need Alfred Collins to hit. They can, if the Niners missed again on their second round pick, that you know, you don't get endless opportunities to F up day one or day two picks, and they've effed up more than their share. If Alfred Collins is a bust, that is going to hurt. It is going to hurt the team, and it's going to hurt their chances of being a really great team. So I hope you're right. All right, I'm going to be a little bit more conservative. I'm going to take some chances today, but I'm also going to start off very conservative. I'm going Bryce Huff.
Ooh.
Bryce Huff. How do you not go with Bryce Huff? to me, this guy reunited with Robert Saleh in this wide nine scheme that he's so comfortable in, where get-off is your get-off and how will you get off the football matters so, so much. And this guy is so pure in his get-off that I think there's almost no way that Bryce Huff doesn't impact things minimum as a speed rusher who kind of flushes the quarterback into the lap of Nick Bosa. I'm going to make a prediction here. Nick Bosa is going to have a big sack season, and it's going to be because of Bryce Huff.
So where would you put a sack? So like when we look at Nick Bosa, he's had two monster sack seasons, right? So the year, you know, he had 18 and a half and 15 and a half sacks back in 2021, 2022. Other than that, he hasn't gotten past 11. So he had right. Nine his rookie year. He had 10 and a half 2023. He had nine last year. So that 11 seems to be a barrier. Is he going to have more than 11 this year, Larry, in your opinion?
Yes. I will say Nick Bosa will have 15 sacks this year. 15 sacks for Bosa. He's going to run into five or six that he didn't run into in the past. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. I don't know that Nick Bosa has, since D Ford left, I don't know that Nick Bosa's run into more than a couple sacks a year.
Yeah.
When I say run into it, what I mean is he literally gets out of his stance, he beats his guy, but then the quarterback gets flushed by the other defensive end and basically runs right into Bosa's lap.
Kind of like Drake Jackson's three sacks that one game where Bosa chased him to him.
Yeah.
It's the whole cat and mouse thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Bryce Huff. I think it's pretty conservative because I think it's highly likely that he's going to play pretty well. He's a scheme fit. We don't have to, some of these guys, we got to wonder, how will they fit the Niners scheme? How will the Niners coaching staff embrace them? We don't have to wonder about that with Bryce Huff. We know Robert Saleh is going to embrace him, and we know he fits the scheme to a T. Now you put him on a defense opposite an excellent player like Bosa, and potentially on some passing downs with Mikel inside, who could be quite dynamic as an interior rusher. And I think it all adds up to Huff makes a significant impact. So I'm going to go Bryce Huff. Who is your second pick for biggest impact among newcomers?
My second pick was the guy I thought you were going to go with, and that's Nick Martin, the rookie linebacker, third-round pick. Whether he's the number three linebacker to start or the number two next to Fred Warner, I don't care. This dude is brought in because he's a tackling machine. And Fred Warner, the best coverage linebacker, I think, in the history of the NFL, if I'm going to be very frank. You allow Nick Martin to be the dude that gets the tackles. You allow Fred Warner to do his specialty, which is the best coverage that you're ever going to get from a linebacker. I think the tackle numbers for Nick Martin, when this season's all said and done, he's going to have over 80 tackles. And so the production, the positivity, the tackle for losses, I think that's all going to be there. And it's not even predicated upon him winning the starting job week one for that Dre Greenlaw role. Even if he is the number three early, if he overtakes D Winners by the bye week or whatever, that doesn't matter. The impact he will have is going to be huge because we just have not had – you had Dre Greenlaw, but when Greenlaw was out or whatever – there was just something off. It didn't matter. So, like, you finally get that, and I think him and Fred being together for a long time is going to be a lot of fun.
Nick Martin, there's something about Nick Martin that screams out special, and I'm not sure what it is exactly. He's got this poise about him. He's got this confidence about him. You know what I mean? There's something about him, John, that just says that he's not an ordinary player, that he's more than an ordinary player. you know, obviously he's got great strength, great speed, doesn't have huge size, but there's just something the way that he carries himself. Like he knows he's good, you know, he knows he's a pretty damn good player.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Here is the video that I did the day that the day he was drafted. And I mean, I literally ran into the next room, and here's what I spit out. Here it is. It's only 30 seconds or so. Here we go. Where's the volume? Yeah, there we go. This guy sucks, they say. No. This is a really good pick. I like Nick Martin quite a bit. He's a linebacker from Oak State, 16 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, a forced fumble, and 2 picks. This year, he only played 5 games, started all 5, 47 tackles, 7.5 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, 2 passes defensed. He's a ridiculous athlete. This guy's got tremendous instincts. That's why you get 140 tackles. He has great speed, 4.53 in the 40. 2.64 on the 20-yard shuttle, 1.60 on a 10-yard split, explosive lower body. I mean, this is what you're looking for. You're looking for these hyperactive, super instinctive, second-level defenders who have athleticism, mobility. You know, this guy's got it all.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I will say this. I was either going to go with him first overall or, you know, just kind of understand that I wasn't going to get him. because to me, he's the one newcomer that has a chance to be great. I think the 49ers have 2 guys that I've seen this summer or this spring that I think have a chance to be great. Nick Martin on defense, Isaac Garendo on offense. They just look, they're just physically, they do things on the practice field that make everybody else hoot and holler. I mentioned it to Johnny Holland a few weeks ago. Simple pass to the flat in practice in OTAs a month ago. And Nick Martin just came out of nowhere and just snuffed it out like a candle. Now, he didn't tackle anybody because they weren't really tackling. He just tagged off on whoever it was. I think it might have been CMC. But every defensive player, I was standing right on the defensive sideline, all the defensive players, John, just started woofing, and it was because of the speed that he showed to get out there, and they know what that's going to look like and how that translates to football. But media people, they just are reacting to what they see. So they see this guy like a blur just run out to the flat and snuff it out. But because there is no collision and he just kind of tagged off on him, and then the runner gave a little juke and ran up the field. It was like he didn't make the tackle. But the defensive players all knew, oh, my God, that normally in a game he's going to just absolutely smoke the back right there. And that was an incredible tackle. So they're all excited, and yet none of the media people were like, wow, you know what I mean? So sometimes there's moments that look bigger in practice than the game, but then there's lots of moments where the practice, you know, it gets muted by the lack of contact or the lack of finish at the end of the play. That's a great one. I think there's a chance Nick Martin is the best newcomer, but there's also a chance that it takes him some time. He's a rookie. Okay, so you and I have already taken totally different approaches. You've gone yep. Alfred Collins, Nick Martin. I've gone Bryce Huff, and I'm coming back with the second pick. I think I'm going to surprise you here. I'm going with DeMarcus Robinson.
Oh, that was my next pick. No, so you nailed it.
I'm going DeMarcus Robinson, and here's why. I'm doing a video on DeMarcus Robinson this week, and I'm watching him, and I'm breaking him down. I'm looking at all of his film. I'm looking at all of his stats. Do you know how many touchdowns DeMarcus Robinson scored last year?
He had quite a, wasn't it like seven or something like that?
He had seven receiving touchdowns. John, the only Niner on the entire team that had more than that was Kittle, who had eight. This guy was on a team with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and Tutu Atwell and Kyron Williams, and he was the guy who had the most receiving touchdowns. And then just watching him on the practice field, DeMarcus Robinson, he's not a burner, but he's a big play guy down the field because he understands how to kind of set up receivers where he knows the ball's coming over here, but he's over here. And then when the ball's in the air and the DB's eyes are closed, he just moves over and makes an uncontested catch. He did it at least three times. And I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. This is how a guy who runs 4.59 gets separation down the field. This is how a guy who runs in the low 4.6s has 17 yards per reception. He's amazing. So I think DeMarcus Robinson is really, really much. I think he's a much more of a sleeper than we maybe anticipate. I think he could have a significant impact.
He outsnapped, had more receiving yards and receiving touchdowns and targets than Cooper Kupp did in their two playoff games.
Wow.
Like he took over that job, and there were times where it was just Puka and DeMarcus out there. Cooper Kupp was still a major part of it. I'm not trying to downplay that, but the fact that he had more targets, receiving yards, and touch, like when it mattered most, this dude can do things. I mean, his favorite move is that kind of dead leg, stinky leg to the inside, cut to the outside in the red zone. I mean, it's pretty damn good. So he gets the separation, can play all three wide receiver spots. Outside's probably where he's best at, but this is somebody that's done it consistently throughout the league in different systems, different teams, different quarterbacks. It's a very good pick, Larry. And DeMarcus Robinson is somebody that's going to contribute. Now, when is the suspension? I'm hoping it's middle of the year. The best thing for the 49ers is if that suspension for the DUI comes in the middle of the year. That would change everything. That would be...
Do you think it will? I kind of assumed it was going to be announced before maybe even in the next 10 days or so, and that it would probably be the first 3 weeks or so. You're thinking it might be in the midst of the year?
That's most likely, but there is no rhyme reason when it comes to 49 or the NFL and suspensions with Roger Goodell. Like, that dude just flies by the seat of his pants, and it's just throw something against the wall, see what sticks, and we'll go with that. I mean, Rashee Rice, video evidence, all that stuff out there, whatever else, like, still nothing. 2 years, like, you never know. You just don't know. But the fact that the ruling came through, that's finalized now. I do expect it to come at some point, but again, who knows? It's anybody's guess, and it's just a guess at this point.
Yeah, and we got people kind of weighing in. One guy said, will the league drag its feet on Robinson's suspension? We got All Law 77, Peyton. Oh, wait, we got this one from All Law. Said Robinson will be our secret weapon this year. Watch him roll. All right, you are up with the fifth pick overall, your third pick. Right now we've gone Alfred Collins, Bryce Huff, Nick Martin, DeMarcus Robinson. If you're just tuning in, John and I are having a draft of which new 49ers will make the biggest impact in 2025. And John, you know, John's going with some high profile early round rookies, though the first rounder's still out there. And I'm going with the veterans, the free agents.
I'm still in one of yours then. I'm going veteran, free agent edition, Jason Pinnock, who I think not only is the starter week one, I don't think Jair Brown's going to get his job back. I think Jason Pinnock's going to do such a consistent job, and they're going to trust that kind of veteran presence back there. I think Jason Pinnock's going to start all the games he's healthy at one of the safety spots, and I think he can play in both. Ideally, you want Pinnock and Malik Mustafa back once he is healthy, but Jason Pinnock, who I have starting every single game that he's healthy, I think the consistency will be there, and I don't think Jair Brown's going to get his job back this year outside of an injury.
Wow, that's a Robert Saleh special, right? I mean, he knows Pinnock. He had him. He wanted him. And Pinnock is, I do believe, an underrated player. All right, that surprised me. I didn't think you were going Pinnock there. I'm going to go C.J. West.
Oh, so
C.J. West, to me, there has not been anything that I've seen on the practice field that makes me think that C.J. West is not going to be good. He's just explosive. He's strong. He's explosive. He practices. He practices hard. Between reps, he's working on his technique. He's talking to other guys. There's just something about C.J. West that says polish. Now, then I a buddy of mine, who the same buddy who kind of turned me on to Brock Purdy after the Purdy draft, called me and he said, let's talk draft. And so we talked about the Niner draft, and he's like, we started talking about C.J. West, and he's like, you know what? You know why that was such a great pick? And I said, I know why I think it was a great pick. And he goes, okay, tell me why you think it was a great pick. And I said, well, because what I'm watching is college film. I see a guy who consistently does not get off the football. I almost see a guy who looks like he's going to get fined if he's ever off sides, and he would rather be a step behind than jump off sides. This guy, you know, the tendency for a young defensive lineman is to jump off sides. This guy doesn't jump off sides, but he also doesn't get off the ball. And he's like, that's exactly what I saw as well. He's like, this guy won consistently despite not getting off the ball. And they'll teach him all the tricks of the trade to get off the ball. They'll work on his get off. He'll get better at that. And once he gets off the ball and he puts his hands on the offensive lineman before they put their hands on him, he's going to win even more consistently than he already wins. He's already winning a lot. So this guy thinks that C.J. West has star potential, that that with a little bit of refinement and a little bit of Robert Saleh's, you know, helping him get off the football consistently, that he could be maybe the key guy on the 49er front four. So I'm going to go C.J. West.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because he two-gapped. Indiana two-gapped. And so they would read the block and then react to the block. So the get-off's not paramount in that scheme. Now you're transitioning to this GTFO Chris, you know, Kucerik style, where they do put a premium on, dude, you're getting upfield, you're causing disruption. Now, the good news is, you look at that 10-yard split that C.J. West ran, one of the best of anybody at the combine. Like, he has the skills like you talked about, Larry. It's just you're now adapting his play style to fit his talent. And a big reason why he went in the fourth round, well, he doesn't have the elite metrics. He doesn't have the Alfred Collins, you know, 80-inch wingspan. He doesn't have, you know, the wide shoulders, the wide hips, all those things. He's narrow built. But, man, his personality matches his play style, which is explosive, disruptive, and energetic. I love this dude, man. And by far one of my favorite picks of the 49ers draft. And if Alfred Collins, my first pick, does miss time because of the holdout or because of the calf, whatever, hey, guess who's going to benefit from that? C.J. West going to be out there with the first team.
Yeah, I love C.J. West. I love what I see. He's so violent. And then listening to him in the interviews, he's engaged, he's excited, and he's like laughing about how violent he is. And, you know, I've seen that personality type before. I love that personality type. CJ West is going to the moon. All right, who is your next pick? You've gone Collins, you've gone Nick Martin, you've gone Jason Pinnock, you've gone rookie, free agent. What are you going with your fourth pick?
He lasted too long. I was trying to give you a chance, Larry, for the first round pick. We're talking impact here. He went number 11. They tried to trade up to number 8 and 9 for him. I'm going Mykael Williams. Probably should have went a lot earlier than this. Even though I don't think he's going to be a huge stat guy, I don't think that's really what he's brought in here to do. He's going to stop the run. And I don't even think he's going to be the initial NASCAR package move inside guy. I think that's going to be Yetur Gross-Matos. But allow Mykael Williams to develop into what he could be, which the ceiling is very, very high. But for him, he gets to do like the Alden Smith treatment. Remember Alden Smith? They're like, just rush the passer. We'll work on base downs after the bye week. And so he grew into that. It's going to be the exact opposite side of the coin. Mykael Williams, just work on base downs. We'll work on the pass rush ability and all that stuff, and we'll phase you in as we go. But I'm taking Mykael Williams here. Should have went earlier. But, yeah, Niners love him. He loves football. Perfect mindset and all those things. Built the right way. Can he stay healthy? Can he be a bigger impact than he was in college? Those are the questions. But I'm taking Mykael Williams, first-round pick right here.
Very safe, seventh overall. Okay, I'm going with the eighth pick. I'm going with the guy that I could have gone with literally with my first pick, because I really do believe that this guy has all the traits to just step in and do it. And that's Jordan Watkins, the Niners' fourth round pick out of Ole Miss. You know, some people were very critical of this pick.
I was. Yeah.
Were you? People were like, hey, Shanahan reached for a receiver. And a lot of the people that were grading it, you know, strictly were like, hey, looking at his draft position early in the process and then ultimately where he went in the fourth round and said, man, that's a reach. But I looked at this guy as one of my very safest players in the draft. Why? Because to me, he had the three things that I'm looking for. He's got production. He's got legitimate speed. You know, he's got legitimate speed, real production. And to me, he's also got that motivation. I mean, this is a guy who is just very motivated. I mean, he's I did a video on him. He's a mature kid. He's a guy who's really motivated to be good right away. When I watch him on the practice field, he doesn't show any intimidation being on the field with all these pro athletes. He looks very, very comfortable. To me, when you have the measurables, and he does, and then you have the production, and he does, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, if every single draft choice, if I could marry big-time production and then get a player who did it in, like, a great conference like the SEC, and then I could also have great measurables, and this guy ran 4.37 at 200 pounds, you know, I would draft only players that came from the SEC who had great production and great measurables. And I would take my chances on that. Give me the productive player with great measurables who played in the best conference in college football and produced. And I'll take my chances. That's what Watkins is. And to me, he's looked very, very good on the practice field. He's one of the reasons, we'll get to it a little bit later on, but he's one of the reasons why I wouldn't go for a Keenan Allen. I wouldn't go for an Amari Cooper. I just wouldn't, because of the presence of guys like Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins. So I'm going Jordan Watkins.
Now, and again, I hope I'm wrong. Like, I did not like Jordan Watkins. One, I don't like the Ole Miss Art Briles offensive scheme where, like, you take plays off, like, as a coach, man, that just irks the hell out of me. Now, he seems to love football. I love the speed. I love all the stuff that he did at the combine, and I love the fact that he's showing out early, and I hope I am wrong. He seems like a great kid. Like, it's not like I'm rooting against him at all. You're a Niner. I'm even pulling for Mac Jones. I can't stand that dude. but that's what it is. So, man, whenever I hear Jordan Watkins, I'm thinking Larry, and I'm thinking Johnny Dale, because both you guys were high on him, and I value both your opinions more than mine. So I'm just like, man, I'm leaning on you on this one, Larry, and I hope you're right, bud.
Okay. I'll wear that. We were planning on 10 picks, but I think we ought to go to 12 because there's still enough players. We'll add a couple picks, but you're up with the ninth pick overall.
This is going to be a proxy one, so bear with me here. I'm going Luke Farrell with saying he's not going to have a big impact, especially stat-wise, but I think Luke Farrell is huge. The tight end that was of utmost priority that they went after super early in free agency, and I would say overpaid to get him, because this will allow George Kittle to be even more of George Kittle in the passing game with the explosives. Because now, I think it was like 64 plays last year, George Kittle had to stay in and pass block. You don't have to do that anymore. That's 64 more routes run from George Kittle, because Luke Farrell is going to be in there blocking, helping with pass protection. That allows the explosives, the yards, and all those things. And I love how everybody, you know, somehow Brock Bowers got first team all pro. That was a joke. ESPN comes out and Brock Bowers, the number one tight end voted on executives. That's a joke. The number one tight end in the NFL, it's George Kittle. And the fact that all this stuff has happened, George Kittle has so much more to fight for. And that it's like a gift in disguise for the 49ers fans. And I think Luke Farrell is going to allow Kyle Shanahan to use Kittle much more so, like we saw in year two, where he broke the all-time receiving yardage record for tight ends. Like, I think Kittle is in for a monster fantasy season, stat season, whatever. That dude needs more targets, and especially with Ayuk out and no more Debo, I am hoping that, you know, George Kittle gets a season high or close to it in targets.
You know, that probably Luke Farrell, to be completely honest, probably should have been higher on this list, just simply because he's going to have a meaningful role. And you're right. I mean, if the result of Kittle in the pattern, let's say 25% more, is that Kittle scores three or four more touchdowns, I mean, that could be the difference between going to the playoffs and not. So, yeah, Luke Farrell is a great one. All right. My second to last pick, and I can't believe this guy's there, because if you asked me, based on what I've seen on the interviews from the players talking, how they sounded, and then how they looked, I would say this guy probably would be the guy that I would have the most confidence in contributing right away, and yet he's here at 10. I'm going Upton Stout. To me, Upton Stout, it looks awesome. He's small, but he looks really good. The footwork is there. Then when you talk to him, you can tell this guy is, if you could clone this guy, you'd want to clone him. And what I mean by that is, like, we talked to him around the first rookie minicamp. This is just a week or two after the draft. He had already requested film from 2024 of the Niners and was already studying the nickelback position and had already watched all the film. And this was after, you know, 10 days after the draft. So then he said all the right things. It's like, he's like, I'm here to win a job. You know, I'm here to contribute right away. He's just very serious. I think there's a real shortage of talent at corner. I think it's Demo, Renardo, Stout, Luter, and wow, and then cross your fingers. I don't have a lot of confidence in Trey Brown, Trey Avery, Chase Lucas, Saron Neal, Dallas Flowers, Derek Canteen, Jake. You know, I don't. I just don't. But I do feel like Stout looks good. So I'm going to say Upton Stout. I think Upton Stout potentially could start week one, and he might be the only rookie that starts week one. So I'm going to go Upton Stout.
Man, I had them typed in for you, Larry. I knew that's where you were going, and it was a solid pick.
I did.
I had them typed up, ready for you to go. But that's awesome, because the Niners need hit. Like you talked about corner. Outside corner is the least depth position on this roster, offense, defense. But if Upton Stout can deliver in the nickel, well, now you get to keep Demo outside, and now you're safe. Like, that provides the outside corner depth. But that's a big if on a rookie third-round pick, late third-round pick. Niners haven't hit in that area. I'm really hoping that comes through, and I really, really like that dude. Shout out to Tommy. Look at this. John, your interview with CJ West was so good. Love that kid. He takes it personal when teams run against him. He just, like, John Lynch always talks about, their number one thing is finding guys that love football. CJ West loves football. Like, He loves football. He wears a shirt that says "I hate quarterbacks" to work out in. Like, how That's cool awesome. Is that, man? That's freaking best. Awesome. So my last pick, I believe this is my last pick.
Yep,
I'm going with another rookie. It is a Shanahan staple that running backs get hurt. I'm going Jordan James. At some point in this season, Jordan James is going to be starting a game. Isaac Garrido, who I love the talent, can he stay healthy? Hasn't done it at any point in college. It didn't do it last year, but you see the flashes, and I'm hoping he's already practiced more this offseason than he did last season, so I'm hoping that continues. But at some point, Jordan James is going to be starting a game this year for the 49ers. I'm excited to see him. You know, I was a little upset we get rid of Jordan Mason, but Jordan James, I think, has a higher ceiling to play, and I'm excited to see if he could translate into the pass coverage. Oregon didn't use him that much, but if he could do some of those pass routes that you saw him at the Combine, and the Niners, they highlighted that when they asked why they drafted him. Like, man, we loved his routes at his pro day and at the Combine. So I'm going Jordan James, running back out of Oregon. At some point, we're going to see the number three running back we do every year. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
So I have the final pick here, and there's some good options still, right? I mean, let's be honest here. There's some really good options. I mean, if you're a believer in Connor Colby, for example, and I do think Connor Colby's look good. He could wind up starting over Ben Bartsch. So that's an interesting one. I'm a big fan of Corey Kiner. But you just went with Jordan James. I think that's probably the safer pick. I'll say this, you know, based on what I've seen on the practice field, I like what I've seen from Richie Grant. And I might want to go Richie Grant here. But you know what? I wouldn't be me. I got to be true to who I am if I didn't go with a deep, deep pull, because that's what I'm about.
It's your O-lineman, isn't it? It's your O-lineman,
isn't it? No, I'm going Sebastian Valdez, the D-tackle, who has looked amazing. And he's just looked damn good. Now, granted, I'm sitting here. I'm going to fully admit that, you know, I was all in on Spencer Wagee last year, you know, so take it for what it is. It's just because I like him doesn't mean they're going to be good, you know. But Spencer Wagee had a hard time playing the game on his feet, right? That he was getting knocked off his pins quite a bit. So even though he tried hard, and even though he's in somebody else's camp and he's a, you know, great kid, you know, he didn't play the game on his feet. Sebastian Valdez is 6'4", 300 pounds, but he's got movement ability much more like a defensive end than a defensive tackle. There's no knee sleeves or wraps or anything. The guy's just out there. He looks healthy. He had 34 reps at 225, which would have been number one of any defensive tackle if he had he been invited to the combine. His running numbers were good. They were like top 5% in his like 10-yard shuttle. So I think Sebastian Valdez, he looks really good in these drills. And it's interesting. It's like you can sit there and watch the drills, or you could sit there and watch the drills and then watch the reaction to the other players. I like to watch both, because to me, the drills will tell me a lot, but how the other players react to how these guys do the drills tells you more. And Valdez is not being treated like a guy who's an undrafted free agent who can't play and who's just out there, you know, stealing reps at the end of each drill. He is being lauded by Chris and by the other players on some of these reps. Like, way to go, Sebastian. I mean, it's like he also has this very serious look on his face, and he's got movement ability of a defensive end despite the fact he's 300 pounds. So not sure what to expect, to be honest, but I've seen too much from this kid to not have him on this list. So I'll put him over. I probably would have gone with Richie Grant because I really do like Richie Grant, but I got to go with Sebastian Valdez, John, because I think Sebastian Valdez is going to be the guy that, you know, two preseason games in, we're going to be like, and how about that Sebastian Valdez? You know what I mean? I have a feeling he's going to light it up.
Hey, Krug on a Krug, man. If there's any reason to love you, which there are a lot, Larry, your deep dives, they're second to none, man. And one of the many reasons we love you. So A+, man. And why can't he be the next Kevin Givens, the undrafted free agent that plays for 6 years? You know what I mean? Like, he's built just like him. And the play style is just like it. It's just a younger version. So if that's Kevin Givens 2.0, who was an undrafted free agent back in 2019, still with the roster, like, man, oh. And the funny thing is, he's going to be competing for Kevin Givens. So if he wins that 53 roster, you're kind of bumping off the older, you know, spot of you, version of you. But, man, I think the 49ers would love that because the upside, the strength, like you talk about, like, it's uncanny. The dude's like a mini Hulk out there.
Well, you know, I'm going to be eager to see because, you know, they wanted inside pass rush. They signed Hargrave. They paid him $20 million guaranteed. It didn't work out. But then they replaced him with Evan Anderson and C.J. West and Alfred Collins. But none of those guys really are replicating Hargrave and his interior pass rush. But this guy kind of can. And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, he's an undrafted free agent. So, but I mean, I'm telling you, I watch these drills really closely. And this guy is being treated after his reps like he is one of the examples for the other guys. Like I've seen Chris be like, you know, pat him on the back and tell him he's doing great. And I've seen him do reps and then he'll, you know, be in the back of the line and then other guys come over and dap him up and are like, bro, you know, so it's, you know, nobody gets dapped up after a rep if they suck. Right. I mean, these guys are supportive of one another, but it's also there's kind of a coldness to pro sports. Nobody's dapping you up if you suck. But if you do something great, they'll dap you up even if you're a nobody. You know what I mean? It doesn't like what you do on the field is all that matters. It doesn't matter your status. You're going to get dapped up based on your production. All right. Let's hit a couple more topics. Jerry Rice, the great
the goat,
the goat. The great Jerry Rice. You know, he went on, let's see, I guess he went basically, I'm trying to see where he said this. I think it might have been on the radio. No, he told Cam Inman. He was at the American Century Golf Tournament up in Tahoe, and Cam Inman was up there. And Rice expressed some skepticism about 2025. Obviously, he's all in on the Niners. He's a loyal Niners supporter. He wishes the team retained more of last season's roster instead of bringing in so many new faces. Here's the quotes. He said, "I just feel like we added on too many pieces. The reason why I say that is these guys are young guys." And Rice believes the Niners front office may have taken an overly aggressive approach. He thinks continuity is more important. He said, I would have preferred to sort of leave everything like last year, add on to that and have a chance for this coming year. He makes it sound like the guys they jettisoned, you know, also mean they've jettisoned their Super Bowl chances, which I don't necessarily agree with. He goes on to say, I'm always going to be a Niner no matter what. But we're bringing in so many young players. It's going to take a while for that team to gel. If it doesn't happen this year, then maybe the next couple of years. And then he says, I feel like you win championships with defense. Maybe that's why they brought Robert Saleh back. If that defense can get rolling like it did the last couple of years when he was around, I think we have a legitimate chance. The offense is going to take a while to catch up. You want the offense towards the end working on all cylinders. If that happens now, everything is good to go. What do you think, John? You know, Lynch, in an interview, said, hey, you know, we may have to take our lumps. And I think Jerry might be reacting to that a little bit. What should Niner? I mean, we both cover the Niners and we cover on a daily basis all year long. Should we be preparing ourselves for the rude awakening that we may see because of so many new faces? Are the Niners going to be this really inconsistent 500 team despite a really easy schedule because they do have so many new faces? How do you see this thing shaking out?
I mean, you have to be honest with the amount of rookie playing time you are anticipating this year as an issue. And like, and we've talked about this before, Larry, where it's like, look, if you hit 50% in the draft, you're a Hall of Fame general manager. Like, that is unbelievable. The Niners have to do better than that this year. You've got to be at about 70% hit rate with the just the fact that you cut so many veteran depth pieces and you didn't add any veteran depth pieces at certain spots like defensive tackle. You traded for Huff at defensive end. That helped a lot. But at cornerback and other spots, like, you are relying on so many rookies to not only be adequate, but to be hits. That's terrifying. I mean, we just highlighted that. How many rookies did we pick out of our 12 picks? Let me count here. Collins, see, Martin, one, Miguel Williams, two. Jordan James, Sebastian Valdez, Upton Stout, Jordan Watkins, CJ West. 7 out of 12. Like, you literally sat out of free agency. And I agree with Larry here. And then you even went further and you cut guys like Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins, who you could use. You could still use. But how's that going to shake out this season? Now, you talked about the easy schedule. So you're betting, okay, well, we made huge coaching additions with Brant Boyer and Robert Saleh. That's gigantic. And we have a very easy schedule, and we're returning a lot of injured players that we didn't have last year. Is that enough? We're going to have to see. Like, would this team be better if they had Leonard Floyd and Malik Collins still on the roster? Yes. Every single team in the NFL would be better with those two guys. Does that mean they're all-star Pro Bowl players? No, but just the fact that you have to rely on so much rookie talent this year is going to be some head-scratching, difficult, inconsistent moments just by definition, because they don't know. Like, rookies, even if they do pan out, not everybody's Dominic Pooney. They're not. And how many third-round picks have we had that just haven't panned out? Well, we both picked third-round picks. You picked Upton Stout,
yeah.
And I picked Nick Martin. Odds are one of those guys aren't going to pan out. I don't know who, and I think both are going to pan out right now, but history says pump the brakes, people, because you can't have this many rookies participating in a high-level way and be a Super Bowl-caliber roster. History says it doesn't happen. We shall see.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. All right. I want to share the screen because I want to talk about a topic that I wasn't planning on talking about, but I did see this and I think it's interesting.
I like the curveball.
This is my good buddy, Andrew Filippone, who covers the Steelers. And he tweeted this out today. He says, Pat McAfee, Steelers insider, Mark Cabley, says the Steelers have inquired around the league to see what TJ Watt's trade value is, called it doing their due diligence. But then Filippone adds, that's a big change in the TJ Watt discussion from a big-time Steelers insider. So this is probably, John, the first indication, real indication, that the Steelers might be shopping their star. Now, let's talk about him for a second. He's coming off not a great year by his standards. He put up great numbers, but 17 games, he had 61 tackles, 27 TFLs, 19 hits on the quarterback, 11 and a half sacks. The number that jumps out to me, 6 forced fumbles. This guy is probably perfected, more so than Dee Ford, the strip sack. He's the strip sack king, which is maybe the most valuable defensive play you can make. Okay, so that's out there. And while that's out there, I also kind of want to share the screen and show this, because this also has caught my eye, and I retweeted this yesterday. Jamie Eisner, odds for TJ Watt's next team, if not Pittsburgh, the Eagles are 3-1. The Niners are the second choice at 4-1. The Lions are the third choice at 6-1. I bring this up because people, whenever I bring up, you know, trade for Trey Hendrickson, go get a Shamar Stewart, go add, you know, add a TJ Watt, people are always like, you're not, you can't afford $230 million. Okay, fine. Niners do have $47 million of cap room, and they're going to roll over a big chunk of that. And I just kind of wonder how wise it is to roll over cap room at all in a year where Trent Williams, CJ, CMC, Kittle, you know, Warner, I mean, so many of your Trent Williams, so many of the best players on your team are in the twilight of their prime. Why would you be rolling over $50 million to next year's cap when you could go get $50 million of players, I don't know, this year and win the fucking Super Bowl? So, well, Lions have Aiden Hutchinson. They're paying him a mint. So if the Lions wind up with TJ Watt, the Lions are going to have two awesome defensive ends. The last I checked, the Eagles were rushing the shit out of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They've got some pretty good defensive ends that they've drafted in the first round. So what, they're going to add TJ Watt to an already loaded defensive line there. So what do you think? I mean, TJ Watt is available, and he is an awesome player. I mean, I used to be all about hoard your picks. Don't ever trade picks. Keep all your picks. But then I've watched the Niners screw up so many picks that I think that it's time for John Lynch to copy Les Snead, who was missing on picks and said, screw it, we're going to trade picks for Stafford, we're going to trade picks for Von Miller, we're going to trade picks for OBJ, we're going to trade picks for Jalen Ramsey, and they won a Super Bowl. And now, I mean, the Niners are like, hey, we're going to still keep drafting. Okay, that's great if you draft well, but if you're hit, miss, miss, hit, miss, if it's just... You're probably not going to have enough momentum personnel wise to win at all. Should the Niners be realistic with how flawed their day one and day two picks have been through this regime, and trade a couple future day one or day two picks to Pittsburgh, make the financial sacrifice, and have the massive amount of cap, you know, attributed to or devoted to your defensive ends, and maybe win the Super Bowl? What do you think? Would you go after TJ Watt if it would cost you money and a 26 second and a 27 third?
Yeah, I'm making the call to try to figure it out. And so you got to figure that out, right? Like, okay, he wants to be one of the top paid players at his position. You just saw Myles Garrett, that $40 million a year deal. Like, all right, TJ Watt's 31 years old. He's going to be this season. You trade for him, that's 20. He's got $21 million left on his contract this year. It's his last year. Then you're going to have to do a new deal. That's the situation Pittsburgh's in now. So what are you going to do? A three-year, $120 million deal at $40 million a year? It's not an issue right now this year. You've got the cap space this year. It's going to be an issue in 2 years. Put the void years on it, whatever else. It's a possibility. I don't think it's really the best idea for the 49ers now. Not saying I wouldn't be interested, because he makes every single team better, no doubt about it. I do think he'd be a better fit on the Eagles. They run that same scheme, that kind of odd man front with the outside, but we do a wide nine. So the 49ers, like, yeah, TJ Watt can work. I just think that you already kind of did the... I don't know. I don't want to say JV version or the good value version of that and getting Huff. Like, you did the value trade on a value player that plays that role. Bryce Huff is not TJ Watt. Nobody's going to get confused with that. But you would have to pay a premium to trade, as you talked about. And then you would have to pay a premium to pay. That's what kind of hurts. And the Niners have established this compensation build. You wouldn't even get a compensation. So if you did trade for TJ Watt and he played for a year on his current contract, which I don't think you would, and then he signs elsewhere, you wouldn't even get a comp pick for him because he's got over 10 years of service in the NFL. So, like, that's not even going to translate either. It's hard. It's unlikely. I think the Steelers are kind of just allowing the market to be gauged, kind of like what Lamar Jackson and the Ravens did, so that they can settle this. I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to let him walk out that door personally. He is the Steelers, but yeah, I'm making a call and I'm going to see, but I'm not overpaying. I'm not giving up a first round pick. And I'm not going to pay $40 million a year for TJ Watt. I'm not going to do that, especially with the you had Jed York, you had Kyle Shanahan, you had Lynch talk about, hey, we're getting younger and we're going to get cheaper. We're going to build through the draft.
None of this jives with that. Here's the other question. Is pass rush? I mean, the Niners built their regime. That Lynch and Shanahan got together with the idea that we want to build a dominant D line. Is a dominant D line the way to go? Is that in an era of football where you can go two-step drop and neutralize a pass rush pretty easily? Is that the route to go? Should you build your team around a dominant defensive line? And I ask the question because I'm looking at the top highest paid defensive ends. Here they are. Okay. Myles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby, Nick Bosa, Josh Hines Allen. He added the Hines, who he came into the league as Josh Allen, the Jaguar. Brian Burns, TJ Watt, Montez Sweat, Rashawn Gary, Andrew Van Ginkle, Trey Hendrickson, Gregory Rousseau. Those guys are all making big money, $20 million AAV or more. Garrett's making 40. Guess what they all have in common? None of them have Super Bowl rings. There's not one Super Bowl ring with every – I just named the top 10 or 12 pass rushers by dollars in the sport. None of them have a ring. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, you look at the 49ers, first-round pick on the edge, second-round pick on a tackle, fourth-round pick on a tackle. You know, so the Niners believe you build that way. But
do you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Are we in an era where, I mean, I think of the Ravens Chiefs AFC title game a couple years ago when it was in Baltimore, Kansas City went in there and Kansas City just said, you know what? We're going to run between the guards because they are so dominant in the interior. They just ran Pacheco in the A gaps up and down the field. And when they got the third down, they just said, hey, Mahomes, run around, figure it out, try make something happen, little rub route, little short stuff. No five-step drops, no seven-step drops, no we're giving Jason Owe or any of these guys any chance to peel the edge and kill Mahomes and strip sack and negative plays. Nope, we're not even going to allow you to rush the passer. And they won the game. They went to Baltimore and they took the game away from them. And Baltimore never rushed Mahomes. They never really gave him an opportunity to rush Mahomes. I almost feel like in today's game that if you want to, especially early in games, I mean late in games, it's a different thing when the score's out of whack. But if you want to, you can get rid of the football so quickly that you can neutralize the TJ Watts, the Joey Bosas, the Nick Bosas, the Myles Garretts. Does that make you say, hey, maybe we shouldn't spend our money there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun conversation. It is going that way. And then you look at the 49ers offense, and it's not. Brock Purdy had the longest time to throw of his career dramatically last year. And so, like, it is interesting because some teams will do that. But if you do get the ball out quick, it is difficult to press deep. The Eagles, they throw the fade route really, really well. It's like the one route that Jalen Hurts throws very well, that outside fade route.
Yeah,
So, like, yeah, that's there. I still think defensive line is where you build, and I think the 49ers subscribe to that as well. I don't think that's going to change. But, this whole TJ Watt thing, if you were going to trade for somebody, I would much rather, not that I think he's a better player, but I would go for Trey Hendrickson because he's a better scheme fit. He's a lot younger. He's going to be a lot cheaper. There is zero interpretation. Like, he's played that exact same role. TJ Watt is, you know, odd front outside. Like, that's a little bit more. He's older. He's more expensive. He would cost more to trade for. And you have to kind of interject a new scheme. I'm not saying they're going to trade for anybody. I don't think they will. But Trey Hendrickson, I would prefer over that just because it'd be cheaper to pay, cheaper to trade, and he plays that and he's younger. But
yeah, no, I'm with you. To me, Hendrickson makes the most sense. Though I'll say this, if the Niners finances, if the Niners, as you stated 5 minutes ago, if they really are committed to their statement of we want to get younger, healthier, you know, cheaper, faster. To me, the guy is Shamar Stewart. Wait for Shamar Stewart, because I've read 15 different articles on this. The Bengals are not going to budge. And guess what? I don't think Stewart is either. So Stewart's going to go back into the draft. They're going to lose him for nothing. So I hope
that happens, because I hate that ownership.
I would rush them hard.
What would you offer, Larry? What would you offer?
I would offer next year's second and a conditional pick in 27.
So why would the Bengals
maybe even a replacement? You know, if they want a Sam O or a Beal or, you know, somebody like that, I would offer maybe a replacement defensive end and you know, a sec. I mean, why would they take it? Because they're going to get zero, because he's not going to sign. And they have proven that they're cheap for decades. So they're not going to back off their stance. This is their stance.
You remember Carson Palmer? I can't even talk to him anymore. I'm not going to play for, I'm retiring or get rid of me.
Yes.
This is done. They've done this for it's years. Awful. It's awful.
So they're going to take a crazy stance on Stewart. And I think he's not going to budge. I think he's more than content to go back. You got to remember this, dude. Not that I'm telling you anything you don't know, but the people in the audience should remember this. The college football player in 2025 is showing up with $2.5 million in the bank. You know what I mean? Because of that NIL money. And this guy played at A&M. Do you know how much oil money is funneled to A&M football players? And Shamar Stewart was one of their greatest players, one of their five-star recruits. I find it very hard to believe that he doesn't have at least $500K in his account right now, just sitting there. So you're not in the same boat that other team. He could gladly just work out for a year, hire a trainer, and go into next year's draft, say, screw you, Bengals. He's not going for that language. I'm telling you, he's not going to budge. I don't think they're going to budge. If I'm the Niners, they're going to be staring down losing the 17th pick for nothing. What you do is you offer him a second round pick and Robert Beal, and you just call him and call him and call him. And then you sweeten it with, hey, we'll give you a conditional pick based on what he produces for us. And there you go. I think you're covered. And then I would add him. And to me, Shamar Stewart would be a phenomenal add to the Niners scheme, because I think in a lot of ways he could be even better than Mikael Williams in the inside rusher role. So just my thought. Okay, a couple last thoughts before we get out of here. One, Aiyuk, Matt Miyoko went on the radio on KMBR this week and said that there's a chance Aiyuk's healing fast and that Aiyuk could be ready for week one. He says it's unlikely, but he says he could be trending towards week one. I'm shocked by that. He got hurt in week 7. He blew out the ACL, the MCL, and the meniscus, and he's going to be back by week 1. To me, I don't even care if he says he's back by week 1. There's no way I'm letting him come back in week 1. What do you think, though, when you hear that?
I still remember it was the Tuesday before week 1 last year, and Kyle Shanahan said, yeah, there's a chance Christian McCaffrey plays this week. Week 1, and like, absolutely not, my friends. And now, I want him to be. And yeah, everybody wants Aiyuk to be healthy. I put this out there on Twitter. People are like, oh, he's so negative. I'm just like, dude, if you have not learned to not trust the 49ers on injury news at this point, I don't know what to tell you. I really do not know what to tell you. He's going to be a pup player. He's going to start on the pup. He's going to stay on the pup. And he'll miss the first month of the season at minimum. Even if he is healthy, you have to remember Brandon Aiyuk's MO. He needs the time to ramp up. Last year, skipped the offseason, you know, because of the holdout, whatever, however you feel about that. He was not Brandon Aiyuk for a while in the season last year. Like, even if he is healthy, look, BA, we need you to be the BA that you were when we paid you. So take your time. I want you at 110% ready to go and have, you know, the confidence on your cuts and all those things. We're not rushing anything. And Jerry, this is where the whole quote came from. Do not rush it back. Jerry knows better than anybody. He was in his garage sawing his cast off so that he could get back in there because the doctor wouldn't take it off. And now Jerry's sitting there saying, dude, wait. He has the longest, most, you know, incredible career ever for a wide receiver with longevity and overcoming injuries and all that. Why would you not listen to Jerry Rice at this point? Dude, get right. That's what the 49ers, we don't need you for week one. We need you for the playoffs. We need you for November, December, not September. This is in nobody's best interest, not BA's best interest, not the 49ers' best interest, nobody's best interest. Like, take your time. Please take your time. There's zero chance that dude's playing week one.
And what do you think of Bobo? What do you think of Bobo's coming? He says the whole Ayuk ready for week one thing is them trying to entice teams to trade for him.
I don't think you could trade that contract, man, even if you wanted to. Like, and so I understand that. And yeah, to get out of that, it's a terrible contract. Back-to-back $40 million cap hits coming soon and all that stuff. Yeah, terrible. No team in the NFL is going to trade for that unless you get like a fourth-round pick. And if that's the case, man, you already paid them, and the amount of dead money you're going to take on it anyway, you gotta roll with them. And until he gets healthy, you can't trade that contract. It was a dumb contract, man.
Okay, so two last thoughts. There will be no Ayuk at the beginning. I think we're in agreement. There'll be no DeMarcus Robinson. And I'm thinking initially, but you might be right. It might be not till, you know, later in the year, which would actually complicate things. I'd almost rather have it early. But let's just say for the sake of the conversation that Robinson's gone weeks one, two, and three, and Ayuk's not ready until October or November. Do the Niners, as is, you think, have enough at wide receiver? Or are they going to be looking for a wide receiver at the cut down? I did a whole video on this. The guy that I'm looking for is Kansas City has Elijah Badger, who's a Sacramento kid who went to Florida and I think has a lot of great traits. But I think he's going to be headed towards their practice squad. I wouldn't let him get to their practice squad. I would pick him off and add him, put him on my 53-man roster and ride with that. But that's who I'm looking for at the cut down. But what do you think? I mean, what's the plan at wide receiver? Because you want to get off to a hot start, but you might not have Ayuk. You're not going to have Debo. And if there's injuries, you may have other guys out, and you may not have DeMarcus Robinson. So what do you think? Are the Niners going to be looking for a receiver at the cut down?
I think they will if it's a veteran wide receiver that has played in the scheme or system before, that is an outside wide receiver. And so, yeah, if one of those guys slips through, but I think you have the answer kind of on your staff already or on your roster already, and Isaiah Hodgins, right, and Russell Gage. Like, I think one of those two guys, like, I like Elijah Badger, and long-term, I love that. But for that week one, two, three, it's not going to be a rookie. It's going to be a veteran guy that knows the system and knows it, like somebody that can, hey, we need somebody that we know can play this right off the bat and has played it in the past and knows what we do to where we can rely on them. So I don't like the outside wide receiver position. If, and the two asterisks, Ayuk's out, DeMarcus Robinson out, that's rough. Because, yeah, you've got Ricky Pearsall, you've got Juwan Jennings. That's pretty much it. Jacob Cowing, yeah, what's your trust in him? Jordan Watkins, I think your trust in him is great. But again, rookie, Shanahan and rookie wide receivers, that's not a lasting relationship. It's scary, man, because you're an injury away from being like, ugh. Again, more things pointing to Kittle is going to get a lot of targets this year, personally.
Give me your camp surprise before we hit some of these comments from people and bolt for the door. You got a camp surprise? Somebody that you're like, you know what? This guy is going to surprise people in training camp. You watch.
Malik Knowles, baby. We're talking wide receiver. I am a big Malik Knowles guy. I know the Niners were really high on him, but he got injured during the draft issue leading up, and so that's caused lots of issues. If he is fully healthy, Malik Knowles is one of those guys. Now, he can play outside wide receiver, but he's more like a Debo outside wide receiver. He's a gadget guy. I really want him to be involved in the return game, and I want some jet sweeps with him and some screens with him. I really want Malik Knowles to have an impact somewhere on this roster.
Good. I like that. He looks pretty athletic. He was a great return man at K-State. Great return man. So he's got that going for him. I'm going to go with I can't divvy these guys up, so I'll just go with both of them. I'm going to go with the backup backers. To me, Tatum Bethune and Stone Blanton. I think those are guys that we're going to be talking about. Stone Blanton makes tackles, and he's very productive. Johnny Holland, when I talked to Johnny about him, Johnny talked about him like he was a second-round pick. I mean, you would swear that Stone Blanton was one of Johnny's favorites, and then Bethune looks fantastic. Bethune, I think, is a noticeable difference in his movement from last year to this year. It's quite a bit different, and I'm very excited about both those guys. I don't know what the roster spot will look like, but I'm excited about both those guys. All right, let's hit the comments, and then we'll get out of here. A couple supers and a couple that I just chose. We got this one, Justin S6444. Greenlaw's 5'11", 230. Martin's 5'11", 220. And Dieter and others saying this guy is too small to make an impact. I don't buy it. Telling me he can't put on 10 pounds. What matters is your strength. The guy had 26 reps of 220, of 225. That was more reps than CJ West had. So Nick Martin is very, very strong. To me, Greenlaw and Martin are basically very similar guys, very similar as far as body type. Yeah, Greenlaw's a little heavier. Martin's a little sleeker. But, I mean, this is the trend. This is where this is where linebacker is going. So Dieter has dug in deep on his anti-Nick Martin. And I love Dieter. And I think Dieter's really smart. And I am 100% confident that he's going to wind up eating his shorts on that take. Because he's just wrong. I mean, I love him. I love him. I'm a big Dieter fan, but he's just wrong. Nick Martin is going to be really good. And it's funny because I did an interview with Johnny Holland, and you can go find it on my YouTube page. And I'm like, Johnny, what do you think of Nick Martin? He's like, he's like, there is no doubt that kid's going to be a really good football player. You know, it's like, all right, you know, it's like, I've heard enough. You know what I mean? I've heard enough, and I've seen enough, and I've watched enough. So, I mean, that's what I love about Dieter. He has strong opinions, and he digs in deep, and he's going to eat his shorts on that one. He's going to be wrong.
The one thing I would say is if there's anybody that likes small linebackers, it's Robert Saleh. Look at Jamie and Sherwood. He turned him into an all-pro player. Dude was 215. Like Azeez Al-Shaair, who's 230 and a little bit of change. Like, this is the Robert Saleh mold. This is the new NFL. And so, yeah, size should not be the reason why you're out on Nick Martin.
Dude, this was an amazing linebacker draft, and there's some really good small ones. The Ravens got Chandler Martin from Memphis as an undrafted player. He's the same thing, 6 feet, 220. He's great. The Dolphins signed my buddy Eugene Asante from Auburn.
I liked him.
He's 6'1", 225. He's great. So you know what? I'm a big fan of these undersized linebackers. It's a movement game. It's a coverage game. All right. Couple of these non-supers, though. We got this one from TM with a question for you, John. Is Chapman a Dodgers fan? Now,
Why would you even
bring that into the discussion?
All right. So real quick, time out. My dad,
lived
in Atlanta his whole life. So every summer I'd go, you know, my parents worked together. So I'd go to, he had season tickets to the Braves since I was a kid, been to like 200 Braves games. I'm a Braves guy first and foremost. And my dad would always say those scum sucking Dodgers, at least favorite fan, like team in the, like, no, I hate the Dodgers. Lived in LA, went to the couple Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers with a passion. No,
how many of their fans showed up last night?
Yeah, I heard they showed up.
Oh my God, John, it was sickening.
They support them there. It's the only, like, LA doesn't support the Rams. I lived in LA for 6 years. I never saw a Rams hat. It doesn't even exist. Like, no fan base whatsoever.
What's it like going into a stadium like SoFi and have the Niners take it over? Because, I mean, Dodgers fans last night took the place over. It was embarrassing.
I mean, it's demoralizing.
Find the crowd shot. It's just ridiculous from last night. I could not believe it. But what's it like when the Niners go in there and they just take it over?
The best is the other fans, like, man, why are there so many of you guys? Like, I didn't know y'all did this. Do y'all always do this? And we're always like, yeah, that's what we do. We did it to Pittsburgh, which a lot of times you're equated to Pittsburgh because, you know, the Yenzermod, they travel incredibly well in the towels and all that stuff. You see them everywhere. But whenever we played Pittsburgh week one, I think it was 3 seasons ago, and man, we took over that stadium and ran them out. Like, they left in the third quarter. That was like one of the coolest moments as a 49ers fan. Like, you took over the, like, one of the top tier fan bases stadium. That was awesome. And the Cowboys playoff game where we were doing Niners chants. Oh my gosh. Those fans get pissed. It is demoralizing. is demoralizing.
Were you in Pittsburgh for that week one game?
I was. It was awesome, man.
Dude, there was let's go Niners in the fourth quarter at Heinz Field.
Yeah, when you lose your voice at an away game because y'all are going so loud, like that is a wonderful feeling. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah, Dodger fans last night. Yeah, here it is. Here is the fan base. I found the video. Here it is of this is a little KMBR video from yesterday. Dodger fans taking over Oracle Park, John.
But yeah, every time we play these guys, it always seems like it's a great atmosphere.
Look at all those. Look at all the blue.
But they showed up, man.
But yeah, it's always fun playing against them. Always a great energy.
Great energy, except there's – oh, wait, here we go. Here's Willie Adames.
Not going to lie, I feel like we had too many Dodgers fans today here. So maybe tomorrow we get more San Francisco fans.
There you go. Too many Dodger fans, and there were too many last night, but it was a great night. Great night, but too many Dodger fans. Giants did win the game. All right, couple last ones. Mason Davis, instead of trading for Watt, what about trading for Sauce?
I don't think Sauce and Robert Saleh will ever work together again. Not
really?
That there's a
I
lot of bad
that.
Blood there. Well, like you remember, like they were going over Jeff Ulbrich and all this stuff. Like we're going to bring back tackling drills to practice because we're not tackling well. And Sauce came out and was like, no, we're not doing that. We're pros. We're past that point. And I don't think Sauce is what Sauce was. Like his all pro years were awesome. Sauce ain't what he was. And he's awesome. I would love to have him, but I don't think there's any way the Jets trade him, and I don't think Robert Saleh is the guy going to bat to bring him in here. Personally, that's just my own interpretation, and maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, I mean it's good. And I agree with John. Sauce has regressed. He's not quite the same player that he was. Joe Young 650 says, love that hat. Chapman. Now that is that the Trent Williams hat sort of?
Yeah, this is the residency hat. I don't think this isn't the new Trent Williams edition hat, but this is the one Trent Williams used to wear. So like if you go to residency and type in Trent Williams, he has his own line now and graphics there, which is really, really cool. But this I don't remember the exact name of this, but it's on
Red Bill? Is it a Red Bill?
Yeah. Red Bill with the black SF and the white cap. Yeah, it's like a baseball cap, like a legitimate throwback baseball cap. That's why I like it.
It is a sharp look. We got this one from Edward, who says, when defensive end Shamar Stewart, a prospect from Texas A&M, attended the NFL scouting combine, he was seen carrying a 49ers backpack.
Yeah, the official interviews, the 49ers, almost all teams give something. And so that means that he had an official 30 interview with the 49ers at the combine. But yes, that is true. That is true.
And Luke Luna grading me, critiquing me. Larry, why do you always do this? You've already said with other people on other streams that we're good at wide receiver, and then you go on with someone else, and you say we need wide receiver again. Well, Luke, it's obvious, right? It's like, yeah, if you're counting their wide receivers and you're counting Ayuk and you're counting, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, yeah, then they are set at wide receiver. But since Ayuk is probably not going to be ready until later in the year, and DeMarcus Robinson's not going to be there for 3 weeks, and you're under some serious pressure to get off to a hot start, I would say, you know, you got to consider. I would say wide receiver is the 49ers should be looking. I wouldn't trade for a wide receiver. I would not add a traded wide receiver. But I would wait for the Malachi Corleys and the Bo Meltons and the Laviska Shenaults and the, you know, the Brendan Rice and those. Elijah Badger. I'd wait for those guys to get cut. And absolutely, I would look for one of those guys at the cut down, especially if Robinson's gone in weeks 1, 2, and 3. So there you go. But don't get frustrated, Luke. I mean, if you want to jump out of this chat and into somebody else's chat, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. But
we need more Larry reading comments in that tone. That is Larry reads mean tweets or whatever, you know, like that is. That's
why do you always do this?
I love it, man. Luke, you're the man, dude. I appreciate you, Luke.
No. Luke and I get along well, but sometimes he'll take me to task. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your Saturday. Thanks to our sponsors. I am brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, and Claw Daddy Arcades. The links are in the description for all of our sponsors. We also want to share the screen one more time and let you know when John will be the 49er Rush Road Trip events for 2025. You can follow John on X at JL_Chapman, and he's going to Seattle, New Orleans, Tampa, Houston, New York, Arizona, Cleveland, Indy, and you can as well, and the link's in the description. And he's even got a video here of past events, which is really cool. And it looks like, do you have a Bowman jersey?
Yeah, like that's John's. Whenever Bowman was there and he signed the jersey for me, which is really, really cool.
You guys do shots and drinking games and all kinds
of things? We have a good time, man. It's a tailgate. People are there to party and have a good time. We don't get out of control or anything like that, but it's a good time to be had by all. And so our day before party is 2 to 6.
What's up with these kids standing on one leg?
Oh, so like we do all kinds of like competitions for the kids to win stuff. So we do a Heisman challenge where all the kids do this Heisman pose. And the last one, so if you put your foot down or drop your arm, and the last one to do it, they all get something. If a kid comes to our event, they're leaving with something. But we give some autographed jerseys. Like we gave away a Jerry Rice rookie card to a kid and stuff like that. Like just try to make it more memorable for them. We do a lot of stuff for the kiddos.
Hey, hit like and subscribe on both channels. Thank you, John. We'll talk to you in a week. Next time we talk, man, camp will be around the corner. I'm fired up to stream with you throughout the football season. I'll give you the final word as we bolt for the door.
Man, we have made it through. And thanks in large part to amazing people like Larry Kruger, all you do for the community across all sports, man. I just want to say thank you as a 49ers fan myself. And for everybody else out there, the dark period is over. Niners report here in 2 days. We are so excited. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
On that note, peace. Have a great Saturday, everybody. I'm going to go barbecue some steaks and hang out. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been
scared of. If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.